Okay. Well, thank you. It's good to hear that in the midst of your exams too, you know, some of you are taking the effort to taking the effort to look at applying lessons of prayer. You know, I even as I share about the example of the Lord with you, you know, I just want you to be encouraged to first, as you discuss among yourselves, I think you realize this, that many of you face similar struggles. And sometimes the struggles that you feel are, you know, so terrible in your own life, and you almost feel like you're the only one going through it. You know, don't feel that. That's why we're here with each other, learning alongside each other, so that we may be truly walking with each other along the way. And you're right. Praying like the Lord Jesus is not an easy thing. I'm not saying it is, but nothing about the Lord Jesus is easy. Nothing about his life is easy. And that's the challenge. The challenge here is to be able to respond and to respond well. Okay? Well, we're going to begin in prayer. And let's look at the next part of it. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his outstanding example in every way. And we pray that the more we learn, that you will encourage our hearts to know that you can work in us in a wonderful way. And you can bring about a change in our lives when we really begin to follow the Lord. And we pray that you would help us and encourage us, even as we listen to your word again. Help us, teach us what this really means to respond well. We pray and ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good. Now, in the last few weeks, okay, we have been talking about the Lord, right? The example of the Lord Jesus. So let's just go back and take a look at it all over again. Okay. Now, we spoke about his growth. This was one of the first things we spoke about. Yes? And then we went on and we spoke about how he was truly that son. We spoke about sonship. Yeah? What else? We spoke about how the Spirit of God was upon him. Right? He was truly Spirit-filled, isn't it? We can call it Spirit-filled. So he was wonderfully Spirit-filled. Okay? And what else? He was also that servant. Yes? And he fulfilled the prophecy, Isaiah 61, right? So you begin to put it all together. You realize that the Lord, and what else do we see? We looked at his prayer life, isn't it? His relationship with God, his prayer life, right? And so we catch a picture. Now, as you put it all together, we begin to catch a picture of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, right? There are many other aspects of his life, but we just highlight a few that are here. Okay, and we put it all together and we realize, wow, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you look at him and as you get to know him a little bit better, from how he grew to how he was a son to how he was a servant, the challenge now is, how do you respond to the Lord Jesus? So it's not a one, you know, the messages are not meant to be taken one off, and that's it. You put it all together, what do you see? A picture of who the Lord Jesus really is. We saw also how he faced temptation. We saw also how he fulfilled. We saw many aspects. Put it all together. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the example that we are looking at. Okay, and that's important to realize. It's not one off. It's about the whole thing together. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, if the Lord Jesus were there, and now, okay, we come to the point where he has started to minister, right? And he has started to serve, isn't it? Now, he began to do this thing and he began to call disciples. Okay, why did he do that? Now, we talked about the work that Jesus was meant to do, right? That work is impossible for him to fulfill in his lifetime. It is not meant for him to fulfill only in his lifetime. Remember, we talked about the word entrust? Now, the Lord would now call disciples because one day, he would have to die, he would have to resurrect. That's all part of God's will for him. Yes? What about the work? The ongoing work that is to be done. He will have to entrust this work to disciples, to people who would take it on and take it to the next level that is there. Okay? So that's what he had to do. And he, because of this, in the background, the back of his mind, he always knew that he had only that 3 years here. And it's not enough to fulfill that grand plan that the Lord had, right? Isaiah chapter 49 tells us, he is meant to be a light to the Gentiles. How is he going to do that in that limited 3 years there? It's not possible. So how? it would have to be a work that is entrusted to disciples whom he would have to call. And that's exactly why he called the disciples. He began to call because he knew that there is a work that has to be now entrusted over to them. And that's the whole point of it all, okay? And so the Lord began to call disciples. The question is, if the Lord would call you, for example, to be a disciple, how would you respond? What is that one thing that you need to have to respond well? Right? And the question now is really this word called response. You see, we keep learning about the Lord Jesus, which is a good thing. But it's also, you know, we can just sort of, okay, this is Jesus, wonderful, that's great. And then we stop there. Without an adequate response, your life would be exactly the same. What is your response? And I want to say this, that the response that is, wait, what's this? Response, sorry. Terrible. That sorry. Response, right? Response. Okay, anyway, so what is your response? That one key word that needs to be there to respond well. It's not determination, it's not willpower, it's faith. And that's an interesting thing to note. You know what? It's faith at the end of the day. And this afternoon, I would like to present to you the study of it all, and then we talk about how we can respond after that. Okay? Where is your faith? Where are you at? Okay? Now we're going to study the example of Peter. Where was he? When did he truly respond to this call of discipleship? You know what? It actually depended on his faith. And if the state of your faith is not there, neither are you able to respond beyond a certain level. Can you see? But the challenge is to be able to respond, right? Because if not, we just observe, we listen, we hear, we thank God, what a wonderful example Jesus is, and it stops there. There is no impact whatsoever on your own life. We need to look at response. So we study about Jesus as we should, rightly. Example, 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 and many aspects. Then we come to a point where we need to ask ourselves, what's your response? What's your part? And that's where this will be, okay? The response is really one of faith. Now, let's take a look at the example of Peter, right? And then we'll have a bit of time to interact later on, okay? Now, we're at Luke 5 today, but before Luke 5, let's turn to John chapter 1. We're going to trace Peter's own journey of faith. Did he start out immediately? You know, like sometimes you read in the book of Mark, you straight away, the Jesus came, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Then they drink everything, then they just follow. Is that how it was? You know, that wasn't how it was, okay? It may seem that way, but it's not. Okay, so let's take a look at John chapter 1. What was the first brush that Jesus had with Peter, or the other way around, that Peter had with Jesus? Take a look at this. Now, let's read together, okay? Just read with me about this. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, these are the two disciples. Who are these two? One of them was Andrew. It is specifically mentioned. The other one is not mentioned. Okay, but Andrew is Peter's brother. So the two disciples heard him speak, followed Jesus, right? And then Jesus turned, seeing them, "What do you seek?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying? So come and see." He came and saw where he was staying, remained with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So he first found his own brother, Simon, said to him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, you shall be called Cephas," a stone. And then verse 43, no recorded response. Okay, how did Peter begin? Jesus, come, follow me straight away. Go already. You know how he began? No faith. Seriously. Okay, this is called no faith. No response, no recorded response, nothing. It's just, where are you on this thing, this line here? So the first part of it, we talk about this, no faith. Now, how do you know the person has zero faith? Zero. How do you know? First, no interest at all. There is no interest at all in God, in His Word, in Jesus, in whatever the case may be. The brother asked him to come, he come. Fine. That's it. And then he came. Right? So that's the first part of it. No faith, no interest, no inclination, nothing. Right? And we start there. Now, we got to ask ourselves where we are. Is it this idea of no faith at all? Well, that's the first part of it. So, this is John 1, and this is where he actually started. Question is, how did he go from here to following Jesus full time and then being the leading apostle and then leading? How did he go there from here? It's a pretty big leap. And this is the thing. It wasn't an automatic thing. There is a second phase. And that second phase is called exploration. Now, we do not often see this, but if you were to trace it very carefully, this was actually how it worked. Exploration of faith. Now, so he went to see Jesus, right? And Jesus insightfully said, you are Cephas, there is a strength within you, you are, translated, stone, rock. There is a strength that lies inside you. Okay? Nothing much from him, but if nothing else, it may have piqued some kind of interest. So he went, and along the way, let's trace Peter. Okay? Now, we'll go back to the book of Luke. So this is the first time. Then he entered into this next phase called the exploration phase. Okay, you have any questions, you just raise it up. Because I understand that the chronology, something, these things can be a bit confusing. So, Luke chapter 4, verse 38. Okay, now we read here. So, okay, now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now, we are reading here. So, Simon was there with him in ministry. Okay, then there he was. And Simon's wife's mother was sick with a fever. They made requests of him. He stood over her, rebuked the fever. It left her. Immediately, she arose and served them. Now, you read a counter account. There were four disciples here at least. Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Okay? They were already with him in ministry. Were they fully following yet? Not at this point. Okay? Because in chapter 5, you realize that Simon and Andrew and James and John still went back fishing. They were still fishermen, okay? He was still going home. He was still concerned about home affairs, family affairs, right? The wife, the mother-in-law is sick and things like that. He's still concerned about it, make requests to Jesus, and that was there. See, this is called exploration. What else did he see? What else did he explored, he experienced. What else did he see? Right, verse 40, the sun was setting, all who had any who were sick with diseases, right? And Jesus healed every one of them. Laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Okay? He saw the casting out of demons. Now, Peter must have been there as well. So there was already some kind of exposure, some kind of experience. Now, we call this exploration. Was he fully in yet? Answer is no. Verse 42, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. Reference in Mark will tell you that Peter was the one who searched for him together with the others. So he was already there. But was he fully following Jesus yet? No. Why? Still had the job, still had a concern with family, yet he was considered so-called a disciple. Can you see? So I just want you to be able to think about this. You start off here with this one thing called no faith. Okay? Now, maybe along the way you are exposed to the Lord Jesus, you talk to him, he says something insightful about you, your interest is piqued. Your brother is so, Andrew is so sold that this, we have found the Messiah, they really. Well, since you are so into it, well, let me just explore this. So then they went, and then four of them together, and they went. Now they began to explore faith in the Lord. Okay? Now, the next part of it is the next part in Luke 5. So just bit by bit. Okay? Now, the Luke 5, we read here. So now it was the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. Then he stood by the lake, saw two boats, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing the nets. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Now, there we go. Simon was still a fisherman, still doing his job as a fisherman. Asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down, taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out to the deep. Simon said, we have toiled all night. You see, he was still working, functioning as a fisherman. Now you may ask, how come a disciple can also be a fisherman? In those days, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. He was still a fisherman. The idea of discipleship is different. Okay, now let's take a look. So Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And they had done this. They caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners, come and help them. They began to sink, right? And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Okay? And then all were astonished, and the Lord said, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Verse 11. When they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, this is called conviction of faith. How do you know the conviction is there? He forsook all. Family, profession, whatever the case may be, everything was given up now to follow Jesus. Now we call this conviction, or we call this definite faith. Conviction is a part of it, one aspect, but we call it a very, very definite faith. Now, this is where I want to ask you. You see, often we imagine that following Jesus, we just sort of follow like that. But the required response is not just a decision alone. It is a faith decision. When he started out here with no faith, he literally could not respond because he didn't believe. Who is this? I don't know him. He said something very insightful about me, but other than that, I really don't know. If you don't know, you can't have the faith, you can't respond. Right? We all automatically assume I believe in Jesus, therefore I'm a disciple. What if there's really no faith because you really don't know? Okay? So ignorance and then no faith. It could be where you're at. Now I would like you to think about this very carefully. Where are you at on this scale of faith? Are you at a stage where you say, you know, I really don't know. I've been coming for a few times now. Maybe a friend brought you here, but you think about it and you know what? You really don't know Jesus well enough and you just can't speak of that faith. You can't speak of that faith. You can't speak of responding as a disciple because you just don't know, right? So that's number one. Are you at his stage? Second part of it, and this is where I want to ask you, are you at this stage? You know, a lot of people just go along. A lot of people are exposed. A lot of people will experience, they have seen things. But you may still be at this level of exploration only. You may not yet be at that level where your faith is really, really definite. You see the steps here? Peter wasn't just in and that's it. It was first, no faith. Second part of it, he had to explore. First thing he had to do is he had to see for himself, healed mother-in-law. Right? And then see great multitudes, healed, cast out demons. Wow, that's a lot of power. He had to watch Jesus in action in terms of, look at his prayer life. Wow. He was the one that went to search for him, Peter. He experienced all that. Right? And then he had to probably watch Jesus preach along the way. It's written there. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. Now, Peter would have been there. Still exploration. Part of it, and yet not. One thing to discover, but still, they call it in Mandarin, 一脚踏两船. You still have one part of you back with the fisherman. One part of you is still concerned about the family part. Now, you have not fully left all to follow Jesus. Exploration. Are you in this stage? You know, it wasn't enough for Peter to get him on board. You notice? The healing of the mother-in-law wasn't enough. Watching the great multitudes, watching him cast out demons is not enough. Watching his prayer life, watching him preach, none of these things were enough. He still went back to preach. He still went back to be a fisherman in Luke 5. The conviction, the full conviction, the definite faith wasn't there yet. You notice? Right? For I don't know if how many of you watched, there was an SSS4 teaching about Abraham's faith. You know, it's very similar. Just because he left the Canaan, just because he left his homeland, right, does not mean that the faith was there. It was only in Genesis 15 when the Lord said, you know, that he saw his faith there and it was accounted to him for righteousness that it became definite. You see, just because you are into that aspect of exploring does not mean that faith is definite. What is it that, what are the features that makes that faith truly definite? Look at it. Verse 5:8. When Simon Peter saw it, what kind of miracle is this? It is a miracle that you may not be impressed with. You know why? Because you're not a fisherman. It is a miracle that was uniquely for the fisherman. Basically, for Peter. Now, you can't understand the power, a miracle of healing other people. Now, I'll give you a miracle directly, something you can directly, personally understand. It has to do with fish. Now, if you are a fisherman and you have toiled all night, okay, fishermen know when is the right time to fish and when is the wrong time to fish. Now, it is not the right time to fish. Okay, they worked all night. He's asking them in the day. They don't fish in the day. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we are familiar with where the fish are at, usually, right? And now you are telling me to go out there and try again. To a fisherman, this is next to impossible. Now, for Jesus to go there and say, okay, launch out, right? Let your nets down. And to have fish literally swimming into that net. Okay, we may not appreciate that as much, but I tell you, for a fisherman, this person can command things against their natural instinct. Fish are swimming into the net. When do you see that? Who has gone fishing before? I've gone fishing before. And fish don't swim into the net. Okay? It's not Aquaman. There's nothing to do with him. This is a person whose power is over and above the laws of nature itself. The instinct of animals and so on and so forth. They recognize his voice. They go. The fisherman can see this and it clicks. You see the whole point of it all? There comes a time when that faith becomes really, really personal. Right? Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees now, saying, "Depart from me." He didn't say depart from us. He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." There comes a very deeply personal understanding of your sin. Once it was about the brother, once it was about a whole group of them, and he was going along. Now it's not. It's not about Andrew, it's not about James, it's not about John. They were all there, but it's not about them. He now understands it's about him. That faith now becomes very, very personal. And there comes a conviction of sin in his life. Right? Now we see that. And of course, and so the Lord would encourage him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." What kind of response did he make? A fully committed response. He forsook everything and he followed the Lord Jesus. Now, this is what I want to ask you this afternoon. Seriously, where are you in terms of faith? Following Jesus as a disciple is a decision of faith. And if you do not have that requisite faith, it is impossible for you to make this decision. Peter didn't have it. Jesus didn't call him at that point of time, John 1. "Come and be my disciple." No point. He knows. He's not going to respond. Be able to respond. He doesn't have the faith at that point. Not going to call. When would Jesus call? Here? No. First, let me expose you to who he is first. Now you get some kind of understanding of who Jesus is. Still not yet personal. Still has not crossed that line yet. And then finally, now let me show you. This miracle is specially for you. He repeated it again in, guess where? John 21. Exact same miracle to remind you of the time you were called. Can you see? And then that faith came in. And he forsook all. And there came the response. Now you see, young people, as I speak to you and I ask you to present to you the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? It's a hope for you to come to a point of faith. You know, nobody in this world can force a response on you. And even the Lord will not do that. He will wait for you to come to that right point of time when you have that faith. And then he will call. Come. See, a lot of the times, we're almost dabbling. One moment we're in, the next moment, for some of us, still dabbling. Not sure. Yeah, looks good, but look, I have 5 other commitments. Yeah, not bad, but forsake all? Rich young ruler said no. You see the whole point of it? Jesus will not call a person who does not have the faith to respond. But watch how he leads. First, he will say, come here, and then, well, you want to come and see me? Well, I know you're not all that interested and inclined. Never mind, I'll just speak to you anyway. Now, let me pique your interest a little bit. Now, you come to the next stage here. Now, let me show you. All these things were all deliberate. Let me show you. My power, my authority, my word, my life, my everything. That's what we've been doing the last few YPGs, right? His growth, his sonship, his spirit-filled life, servanthood, purpose, and so on and so forth. Present to you Christ. Is that enough now? Now, the Lord will, bit by bit, he will lead Peter. Now, you still cannot see. Now, let me show you now this particular miracle as for you. Can you see it? And then the faith came in. And then he was able to respond as he ought to. Definite faith. Can you see the Lord leading you bit by bit? Now, I know that some of you come to church and you really struggle. You know, you really struggle with finding this faith real. You start by, you know, maybe somebody brought you along the way. Maybe you were not so interested when you first came. I understand that. But can you see Jesus bit by bit leading you? Piquing your interest to now come in, explore, to literally just come to church, take a look, understand what the church is about, talk to people, explore. Right? Now, the challenge is, can we look at the next part of it? Have you come to that point of time in your faith when you can say, like Peter, depart from me, for I am a sinful man? Has that hit you yet? Conviction of sin, has it come yet? Is this faith deeply personal yet? Is it? As long as we have not come to this stage, it is impossible to respond as we ought. You know, that's what I want to challenge you to think about. Okay? Now, I don't suppose I'm going to ask you to discuss about this. You can discuss about it later. I just want to leave you with a few words to challenge you. Okay? Later on, you go into your discussion groups. Think about it. I understand that these things can be very, very personal. Talk to your leaders. How can I find this faith? Because you see, at the end of the day, it's about how much we really understand and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see? Can I challenge you? Number one, what's our encouragement? I want to encourage you to do these things. Number one, consider. Be open. Just be open. You know, sometimes you come and then you, so much is asked of you. No, not asking you to forsake all and follow Jesus if you're not ready. Don't. It is a crazy thing to do, to forsake all and follow Jesus if you don't have that faith. You will regret it and you will go into all sorts of doubts. Don't. Just consider. Look, Peter considered. He met with this person. Must have had an incredible sense of presence. He talked to him for a while. Maybe there's something to it. He began somewhere. Number two, if you can, for those of you who are newer and you know you're still exploring, I understand that. Commence an exploration of your faith. Explore. Is there time to explore? Yes. Did Jesus give people a chance to explore? Yes. There were so many people who followed as part of the multitudes. Everyone had a chance. And later on, he will even repeat the call to follow him. In Mark chapter 8, much later on. So this is not the end. Even though you fully commit already, you still have to ask yourself again and again and again. That's Peter's life journey. If you study it properly, there were many, many points of time he had to ask himself again and again. But look, we have got to start somewhere. Commence an exploration of your faith. Explore. But don't explore forever either. Okay? Explorers do not explore forever. They explore to find something. So those explorers who go to the North Pole, go to the South Pole, go to the Mariana Trench, you know, those people, they go there not just to explore forever. They go to find things. They go to discover things, correct? Same. If you were going to explore this world of your faith, explore this person called Jesus, is there a chance to do it? Yes. Okay, but start. Start somewhere. Commence your search. Commence your own faith journey. Search. Okay? And the third part of it, can you really, really speak of a conviction of faith? Can you really speak of that? And if you do, can I encourage you? What is your appropriate response? Is your appropriate response, Jesus' life is too hard? Is that your response? As we study his life, we study his prayer life, we study the Spirit of God upon him, we study his mindset, his purpose, sonship, growth. What is your response? If your response is his example is too hard, then John 6:66 applies to you. Many of them walked away and followed him no more. What is your response? If you truly have found a deep conviction in your faith, that conviction of sin, you understand your personal sinfulness before the Lord. We all understand this. Well, I do. I really do. You know, we all wish that we were more consistent. We all wish that we were stronger. We all wish we were fresh and alive all the time. And yet we're not. And you understand that. And sometimes you literally just have to come before the Lord and depart from me. I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. That's what Paul said. I am chief of sinners. No, I was. I am. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1. Do you understand this? If you do, conviction. This is that level that we need to look at. And I want to tell you, look, let's learn to really follow the Lord. Let us not say these things are too hard. Let us not say that, you know, I can hear all these things, but they are not relevant to me. If you are that true disciple, you will hear the word of God. You will look at the example of Jesus and all the more inspired to follow him. That must be our approach to our faith. Can you see? But where are you in your journey? You got to understand that for yourself first. Now, I'm not asking you if you don't have that faith. I'm not asking you to respond. You can't. Only when you're ready will the Lord call. And sometimes you need a very personal experience like Peter. Have you had that? A very personal experience with the Lord when you are convicted of your sins and you fall down on your knees before him and depart from me. I am a sinful man. Have you had that? Do you really understand that? If you do, what should be your response? Follow him. Let nothing hinder that following of the Lord. Your focus will shift from yourself to the things of the Lord, to the things of the Father. It will shift. Do you have that? Are you a worthy disciple? You see the whole point of it all, right? And I want to challenge you, because I'm aware that all of you are at different stages in your own faith journey. I'm not going to say you're all part of the same. It's impossible. Right? Where are you? You need to know for yourself. Are you in the exploration stage? Are you in the no faith stage? I don't think so. If you're in no faith stage, you wouldn't be here. Unless it's your first time here. Okay? But you wouldn't be here. None of you are first time here. Correct? Are you in the exploration stage? What's holding you back? Concerns? Worldly things? Family? Career? What? What's holding you back? What's stopping you from seeing Jesus for who he is? Who is blind, they say, but my servant? Is the blindness on you? Right? And then after that, we can ask, if you truly understand this personal aspect of faith in Jesus, if you understand this conviction of faith, will you really, really forsake all? Now, I'm not asking you to quit everything and full-time ministry. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is, look, it's not about whether you are a pastor. Yeah, I can tell you that it's not. It's just whether you're a Christian. You understand what it means to really be a Christian? It's about Christ. Christian, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Without Christ, what are you? Nothing. I am nothing. I-A-N. Right? You really understand what it means to be a Christian? You know what? Being a Christian is not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And only a person with conviction of faith can understand this. I want to challenge you first. Ask, where are you on this? And wherever you are, consider, start your search. And if there is conviction, you know, follow through with that. Follow through as a disciple. Let nothing hinder your learning, your growth as a disciple. That must be our approach to discipleship. And if you are still commencing a search, talk to me. I want to help you. I'm so glad to be able to help you. So whoever it is that wants to talk later on, we're going to sit down and talk to, I'm going to sit down and talk to some of you, one of you, you know, go ahead. I want to help you in your journey to find the Lord real. But you need to know where you are. You need to know how God is leading you bit by bit. And He does lead. You just got to be sensitive enough to it. Okay? And if you are the disciple, follow through. Be that disciple. Forsake all. Follow the Lord. That should be the way. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Oh, Father, we pray that You would help us to be sensitive to how You lead. Sometimes we just lack that faith. And we struggle very much with faith. We don't know how to really, really follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we confess that. We confess our sins, our weaknesses. We confess that sometimes we're so hard-hearted. We confess that sometimes we don't know how to find life in You. And we pray that You will forgive us and You help us to first understand where we are in our faith and truly to respond accordingly. And we pray that You would speak to our heart as we listen to Your word. And we pray that You will bless even as we go into our groups. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, take time to talk to your discussion.